Noon straight up on Boston and New England Sports Original WEEI. We got some Ramondre Stevenson to talk about. We got some camp to talk about as well. And joining us now, we saw him yesterday, but we knew we were going to talk to him today. He was among the many masses down at Gillette Stadium yesterday with mandatory minicamp. Our friend, Patriots insider Tommy Kern from NBC Sports Boston. Tom E., good afternoon.
How are you, boys? Good to see you yesterday.
Yeah, yep. You too.
Yeah, it was...
Got that summer vibe yesterday. It felt really good to be outside.
Well, I mean, yeah, and Tommy, I know that you didn't go the way of, you know, like duplicitous pond scum Mike Giardi and our buddy little Andy Hart and others.
Yeah, where's your towel?
Yeah, you didn't like lay a towel out and get the tan working while you were watching practice like some of these others yesterday. Talk about from the swing of the pendulum there, Tom. They're laying out,
yeah,
getting
I was under
sun.
The shade tree.
Yeah. Tom's got fair skin. He's got a
under the shade tree.
He needs the hat and the shade.
What are you SPF wise, Tom? No, I'm not kidding, because
50.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've had enough stuff scraped off me. You know, public service announcement.
Yeah. There you go.
Constantly go to your dermatologist, because the most insipid skin cancer is melanoma, and melanoma is one that burrows. So if you see something on
He's
your
right.
skin that's small, it could be worth checking out, because melanoma goes down. I've had a couple squamouses. I've had some basal cell. Fortunately, I haven't had the M, but it's going to be an ongoing fight because of the amount of time we all spent out in the sun in the 70s and 80s.
No doubt about it. Now we're all paying
more,
for
more
it
of the
in
80s
some way.
For us there, Tom.
Oh, we're all in the same age bracket, maybe.
He's much older than we are.
Kind of. Not much.
Tom, are you 60 yet?
Oh, now that's hurtful.
What?
I'd like to
apologize. Wait,
Tom, I want to apologize.
I want to know how close in age we are. Like, are you you're close to 60 if you're not 60?
I'm 56. I'll be 57 November
9th. Yeah, okay. I'm 49, you're 52, and Tommy is 56.
He has an old, wise look about him.
Oh, now see.
No, it's a compliment. He's a wise old owl. He's like Al Horford,
yeah.
but
wise
for football.
Old owl.
You come to him for advice, like us right now. Like right now,
well,
we need advice.
And Tommy, let's start with the interesting use of today's mandatory OT, mandatory mini camp day. To go out and do, you know, be philanthropic and all that kind of stuff. What do you make of this use of mandatory work day from the Patriots?
Well, it's so often canceled around the league. And last year, the Patriots used their final minicamp day to go play paintball. So I think that you're getting a little bit more community bang for the buck. And if you tried to do this on Wednesday, I think a lot of players would say, if you're canceling, you can't make them go to a community service thing. So, or maybe they wouldn't. Maybe I'm being cynical. But
no, I'm with you, Tom. I think part of the reason you're doing it today is because there's a little bit of forced participation going on.
Right, and then you'll come back tomorrow and you'll have your final minicamp practice. And as you saw on Monday, that was a really good tempoed practice. I think that was the best representation for you guys to see. That's our fifth time out there for the folks who are there, you know, covering the team as a beat. But for you guys to be there yesterday, you probably saw the most competitive practice. I'm wondering, actually, you know, for both of you who've been to many training camp practices, I'm not saying that it was high level. I'm not saying that it was polished, but what were your impressions?
Well,
tempo.
Yeah, one of the things that I took away was the tempo. Like when they go to period 9, I got offensive linemen walking from one drill to another. The clock is ticking. It's 14:30 on the clock, and you're just getting the official set up, and you spend a minute of a period getting to the point to where you can run a play. And then it was 1 minute later, here's another one. I thought at times there, like, I was looking for the briskness and kind of the crispness of, hey, people are moving in between stuff. And I came away sort of wondering, wow, this is, okay, this is what it's kind of been like down here. It took, I thought there would be a little more tempo getting from station to station and things like that. But that's just me.
And to me, I think the tempo was quicker than it had been, especially, I mean, when you look at it, they ran a lot of friggin' plays. They ran a lot of 11-on-11. They ran a lot of 7-on-7. So I think we might be looking at it through two different lenses, I guess. I mean, there were 24 attempts, passing attempts for May. I think there were over 20 for Brissett and, you know, plenty for the other guys, too. So, and that's, but to me, I thought the tempo was good. But yeah, if you, there are certainly times I think you could point out as well, and they're kind of dawdling. But I think they got in more work on Tuesday, I think, than they had, which is good because they're going to come back. And as you guys know, in a month, they're going to be kind of full go. I thought Hunter Henry's interview with you guys was excellent.
Yeah, thanks. It was funny because it was like, it did feel like he was, I don't know, maybe just in a better mood, easier to talk to, like wasn't really worried about what he was saying or how he said it. That's a discussion for a number of time, but he was open and honest and we appreciated it. So after watching the practice yesterday, Tom, and we'll be there again tomorrow, I'm curious what you think the fate of Bailey Zappe will be. Just based on how he's being used, you know, how he gets pulled and Joe Milton goes in for him. I'm curious if the best thing for him would be to just get released now so he can join another team, or do you think it's worth it for him to kind of, you know, chug away at hopefully landing on this team?
I think probably the sooner that Drake May makes himself look completely conceivable as a backup to Brissett at the beginning of the year, meaning we all know that he's got the physical skill and talent to do that, but does he have command at the line of scrimmage? Does he have an understanding of how to get in and out of plays? Does he understand the play calls in and out of the huddle? And I think he's trending toward that. So to do Bailey Zappe a solid, you would probably move on from him prior to training camp beginning, so that when the inevitable injuries come around the league, he has an opportunity to go to those places. I don't think that you're going to sit there and say, okay, we're going to hold on to him as a trade chip. So I think you would do him a solid. You know, you mentioned the Joe Milton coming in for him. I think in that set of plays, they were running 11-on-11. They were giving them, I believe, 48 seconds to score a touchdown or do whatever it was going to be with it. And unfortunately, Zappe threw a pick on his very first attempt. So it wasn't as if he got the hook.
Okay.
They stuck to their pattern. Each quarterback's going to get a drive, and his drive ended on his first play. So that was
– okay, so that's good. I'm glad you added that because I wasn't sure. I thought he got pulled. I thought he just got pulled because he threw a pick. But, okay, so maybe they're looking at him a little bit differently then.
It is interesting. Very much so. It is interesting what they're going to do with Zappe, or does anybody want to kick the tires on him? Tommy, you heard our Hunter Henry interview, and a texter points this out, and it's a good point of Hunter Henry mentioned that it's a little this offense a little easier to digest. Does that guarantee better offensive performance per se? I know I'm a little worried about the O-line, but just in terms of ease of scheme, does that work for the Patriots, or it's, well, they're running everything like everybody else, they're just doing it with lesser players, so they're easier to stop? Where do you kind of land on that?
I think it'll make it easier for the entire offense. Will it be as explosive and difficult to defend? No. I mean, the Patriots were impossible to defend from the time Christian was there until 2019 because of their personnel, but because of the intricacy of the post-snap routes. Option routes, things that you could do because you add a level after level of sophistication to an offense that at this time of year already had its foundation laid, seven stories of solid architecture on top of that, and then they're tweaking things on the top floors and moving chairs around. This is they've just barely dug a hole with this offense, if we're using the house metaphor.
Yeah.
So it's going to be what's different. What's interesting is I continue to come back to 2022 because the Patriots' heart was in the right place. They were post Brady, they're post McDaniels. Like, we got to simplify this stuff. That's what they tried to do during that off season with Patricia and Judge. And as Brian Hoyer told us on our podcast, as was so frequently pointed out, they weren't able to answer questions and understand, well, what do we do if this doesn't work? What do we go to? So that's where they got stuck. But they were trying to simplify it then, and they're still trying to simplify it, but they have you know, plumbers doing the plumbing as opposed to electricians.
But I thought it was, you know, I think every that's a good one.
That's a good line.
Yeah. I feel like every conversation we have with you when the fall comes around is going to start with some version of a Drake May question. But watching yesterday, I was like, wow, there's Christian Gonzalez out there, like, wearing number zero. I'm like, I feel like when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, he may be, like, the one guy we're all kind of paying attention to, right? Got a little taste of him, like, kind of, you know, a little bit last year, then he gets hurt. How did he look, or can you even tell based on what they're doing?
Honest to God, I was so offense-centric, and I think it's such an unfair fight right now.
Yeah,
yeah. That I didn't really watch Gonzalez because he's almost at a point, even after four games and one preseason, I'm like, oh, that's a check mark. That's, along with Barmore, their most skilled defensive player. So what'll be interesting to me is to see what they do on the other side, because do they go with a Jonathan Jones, Alex Austin, who played well at the end of last year and they've brought back and have spoken very highly of? They have a shutdown corner, and they're still, you know, if they want to get better, Steph Gilmore is still out there. But I look at that defense, and Hunter Henry said it probably to you. He definitely said it to me yesterday when I talked about how choppy it looked at times last week, and yesterday was a little better. And he said, the defense is really good. He goes, it's a really hard defense to make yards and make completions on. And it is. You saw it yesterday. There's not a lot of room for the receivers to operate and people running, you know, completely open.
Tommy, we actually had Ramondre Stevenson, of all people, kind of roll out, hey, close to an extension being done. What are you hearing? What do you know? This is real positive news for the Patriots because they're going to need this guy this year and maybe even next year. They're going to need to lean on Ramondre pretty heavily. What do you know about how far along this thing is?
Just what he said, that we're close. And it will be interesting to see what the numbers would be, because, you know, Ramondre Stevenson is a good player. I felt that he was, going into last year, one of the top 10 backs in the league in terms of as a pass catcher, as a runner, as a player who can, you know, assume 30% of a share of the offense from scrimmage, both catching and receiving. And then last year he was outplayed by Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott led the team in receiving. He led the team in rushing. So he had a difficult year. So will it be a reasonable running back contract that's very easy to check off? Or will it be a lucrative one? That, to me, will be interesting to see, because we all know that the running back market is depressed. But I do think he is an integral part of their team as a fourth-round pick. You know, I'm sure he looks forward to and is hopeful of getting a decent bump. But you do have guys like Judon who are perhaps underpaid, definitely underpaid, relative to other good players at their position who might have more complicated contracts to achieve because of the amount of them and their age.
Who wasn't there, Tom? Was there anybody? Because you mentioned Jonathan Jones. Was he there yesterday?
Yep.
Okay.
Bourne, Strange, Josh Uche, and a lot of these were injury-related. So, you know, we looked at Devon Godshaw. He didn't take part a lot he was out there, but he wasn't partaking as much. And, you know, Phil Perry pointed out to me as we were talking, he's like, he doesn't have, I think there's nothing guaranteed in his deal right now. And he's been bumped a couple of times, but, you know, they've talked quite extensively, or Bill did, about what a good player he was. Does he feel as if he's a player who might be worthy of a bump as well? So, and I think all of these players would look at, well, they didn't sign anybody in free agency. They did have a bunch of cap space. They said they want to burn money. Where's mine? You can't blame them. They might be saying, we're rolling it forward to next year where we can try and make a run at Devontae Adams.
and other players. So just remember that, right? There. Yeah, there's that. You know, you got to find a way to motivate people, and money motivates a lot of guys. Our guy Tom Curran bringing the heat. Tommy, thank you, friend. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.